Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible as I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word. I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. And I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated. John 14, verse 12. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me will be able to do what I have done. Wow, think about this. But they will do even greater things because I will return to be with the Father. Well, Pastor, I'm not so sure I can raise the dead. I'm not so certain about water without skis and a boat pulling me. Right? And we look at all of that. I don't know if I could multiply the loaves. Oy. How about speaking with the Father? All things I do, you will be able to do. Correct? He just told us. He sees the Father. He hears the Father. He's led by the Father. Where do you think he got his power from? God the Father, God the Holy Ghost came in him. And he knew them intimately so that he could do it. He said, all I have done, you will do as well. And if God could get, Jesus could be in the presence of God Almighty, then so can we. Or else he lied. And if he lied just once, he's not God. And we know that's not true because he's not a man that he should lie and he cannot lie. Amen? So I just wanted to show you that. I mean, we can speak to the Father. We can be in the presence of the Father. Jesus said, what I do, you will do also. And even greater works. Listen, come on. You can't do any works without experiencing the presence of God. Amen. I mean, you know, I was at first brought up in a very legalistic church. I didn't see anything happening there. And then God touched my life and I went to a church that flowed in the supernatural. And my eyes were like this. I marveled. Because I saw people getting miracles. I was blind, eyes open. In fact, we prayed for a woman in Jamaica. I took 12 people with me to Jamaica. She had a goiter on her neck, this size. I didn't even lay hands on her. The team did. And we watched that thing go, whoop, just disappeared, gone. Amen. We watched it. We got 12 people to testify to that. We watched that take place. I've seen deaf ears open. I prayed for a kid. He was 16 in Colombia. Thank you. In Colombia, he'd never heard in his life before. He was 16. I was in a church and the presence of God was there. People were wailing and singing and I mean like just going. People, demons were being cast out. I took some people with me. Demons were being cast out. People were slithering on the floor. But I was used to this by now because I'm from Africa. I'll bring some of you to Africa. You say, please put me back on the plane. Really? I've seen witch doctors. I've been with witch doctors. I've seen people, demons coming out of people and then going back in them. Oh, boy, he's right. Okay, so now watch this. So this in Bogota, Colombia, I'm praying. I've got my interpreter. He was brilliant. And I had done 7 days services 3 times a day. And he copied me. He was brilliant. He was absolutely phenomenal. And so I get to this kid. He's 16. Everyone's going. It's wild in there. Just it's wild with the presence of God. Healing people. Casting out demons. Just the presence of God. When the light comes on, the dark has to flee, man. It's just so powerful. And so this kid standing in front of me, totally deaf. 100%, never heard. I laid my hands on him and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of deafness to get out, unlock his ears, unloose his ears, and the whole deal. I prayed. But just before I prayed, I come to the kid. This I want to mention. I come to this guy, and the interpreter goes like this to me. His voice is gone. We've been going 7 days. And he's like, I'm used to preaching. He's not. And 7 days, 3 services a day, he was with me every time. He lost his voice. I looked at him, I said, don't worry, this demon understands English. I prayed for that kid. When I laid hands on that kid, I'm telling you, I've never seen such fear on a person's face when he started to hear. He'd never heard before. Think about that. All of a sudden, there must have been an explosion in his ears. His eyes, his face was like this. And they had to hold him and pacify him. And he freaked out at first, but then he was totally healed. Amen. Completely, 100% healed. Glory to God. Glory to God. I've seen the supernatural. I've experienced being on the altar with God. And all of a sudden, singing and worshiping. And we'd go for hours just worshiping and worshiping and worshiping. And I was a worship leader. And so we would just praise God, a song we'd never sung before. And the whole team just fell in line and was just, oh God, the presence of God would come. I'd just fall flat, bang. People would fall. The angels were there. People were healed. In the presence of God, there's power, there's fullness of joy. And he said, ask and seek and knock and I'll bring you in. But I've got to show some want. Come on. You've got to be hungry for God. Say hungry. Hungry. Amen. So what you've got to do is you've got to get to a place where nobody can bother you for a while. Now, we all know that God is in us. We all know that he's with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we can hear God wherever we go, whatever we're doing. But that does not eliminate the time that you should spend alone, separate, doing nothing else with him. Correct? He said, wait upon the Lord. He said, be still and know that I'm God. That means stop everything, get in my presence. But we do know he's with us. And once you've been in his presence, you're going to hear him clearer in the day. So people who hear God, really hear God, you know they spend time in his presence. Remember the disciples? When they were being chastised by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and said, don't you mention that name Jesus again. They came out the temple, went back in front and started preaching again. They said, we perceive they've been with Jesus. People will know you've been with God by your lifestyle, not by what you say. I was hoping to actually kind of start winding this up today, but God's not going to let us. Because there's nothing more important than getting back to your first love. There is nothing more important in your life, in my life, than getting that relationship with God so strong. And especially the times we're living right now, you want to have that relationship intact. Come on, this is the truth. The groom is about to be sent by the Father. The Father is about to say, son, go get your bride. We taught about the bride and the groom. This whole thing of the rapture and the Father sending the Son is likened to a Jewish wedding. Because they become betrothed, right? Like an engagement. What happens then is they separate and they're not allowed to see each other until the marriage day. And the groom goes to prepare a place for his wife. What did Jesus say? I go to prepare a place for you. Did he not? So the groom, and this is traditional Jewish celebration of a wedding, the groom now goes to prepare a house or a room in his father's house. A room in his father's house. And the bride would be preparing for the groom to come and get married. She would be preparing herself, spices and all things nices and right? That's what happens. And only the father had the authority to say to his son, the groom, this is real traditional now, this happens, go get your bride. And when he comes to get his bride, they announce it, and all the people start to blow shofars, trumpets. And the whole town is invited to the wedding. Come on, that is a traditional Jewish wedding. Oh, woo. Can you see the likeness, the resemblance, everything I'm talking about? Only the father knows when he's going to say to Jesus, go, get your bride. Have you been preparing? It's so close now. The flesh will rise up so quick. When you say, I'm going to spend some time with God. Oh, my Lord. It's almost like sirens going off in your body. Wee-oh, 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 wee-oh. Don't do it, don't do it. Wee-oh, that's boring. Wee-oh. It's hard work. You know why it's hard work? Nobody wants to pray if it's hard work. Isn't that true? I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. Who wants to pray if it's hard to pray? Because we're going there with the wrong motive, the wrong attitude, and not in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're not in the spiritual realm. So now it becomes hard to pray. It is hard to pray. It is hard to read your Bible when you're in the flesh only. All of you smiling at me like, you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. I've been there. I could sleep another half hour today. The devil doesn't want you in the presence of God. Do you know what I'm talking about? Rather go and do this good work that needs to be done. Go lead the sick to healing. Go pray for the poor and help them. Go and get involved in ministry. Go do anything but keep you out of the presence of God. You need to listen to what God's telling you through me right now. You will have so many things come up that will cause you to not be able to spend time with God, because what I'm going to do is important. There is nothing more important than you and your first love, God. Am I preaching to the choir right now? You all know that. You all believe that. I just want to read this to you while he's playing that. It's 11:19, not bad. And the best way, I wrote these down, to learn about the value of spending time alone and separated with God, spending time alone and separated and focused and on purpose with God. Right? Watch here. Number one, Jesus in Luke 4. He would go to God to prepare for a major task. After Jesus was baptized, he spent 40 days praying in the wilderness. He was tempted by Satan, and then he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit, and his ministry began. But he was praying. Read about it. You can write Luke 4 down. Number two. Did you get those ones, Laura? Number two. You need to recharge. After a hard day's work and after certain things, you need to recharge. Mark 6, Jesus sent the 12 disciples out to do ministry. When they returned, he encouraged them to be separate from the people and go with him up the mountain of Olives. What for? To pray. To separate, to be with God. Come on. To work through grief. Point number three, Matthew 14. After Jesus learned that his cousin John the Baptizer had been beheaded and died, Jesus went away by himself, getting to prayer and communion with the Father. We need God for every decision we're ever going to make. It could be this important. Should I go left today or right?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
Worthing Associates Financial and Estate Planning, family owned and operated, serving families like yours for over 25 years. 772-403-5879. We make retirement easy. Securities and advisory services offered through Harbor Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, Burnt But Not Bitter. When we hold on to feelings like rejection, betrayal, and disappointment,